Chapter 3, 8 Myths About Making Money. There are those who always seem to have all the money they could ever need. Then there are those who work and toil all their life and never seem to get ahead financially. Which of these two categories do you fall in? Have you been brainwashed into thinking that the only way people get rich is to inherit a lot of money or just get lucky? The reason most of us think this way is because we haven't been taught by self-made millionaires. Instead, we've learned from those who really don't know a thing about accumulating wealth because they're all broke. The advice you've read about, are reading about now is coming from a multimillionaire, not a person who read a book and decided to write another one about it. One of the most important points you'll learn is that a surplus of money starts first in the mind. As soon as you understand and can implement this, you will have made a giant step toward true financial prosperity. Here's some myths about money that need to be put to bed right here and now. Myth number one, financial security lies with having a good paying job with a good company. Well, this may have been not a myth 40 years ago, but times have changed. Today, relying on an employer to give you lifelong financial security can be a downright dangerous thing. Unless, of course, you're getting stock options and riding the coattails of the next Microsoft. What gives you the right to expect your employer will never lay you off someday if the economy takes a downturn? And it most certainly will sooner or later. Or what if you've just let go one day because your department has been reorganized? Then there's a possibility of your company being bought out by another company, and the new company may not like you as much as the old company. True security comes from within, not from someone or something else. We all need to accept personal responsibility for our financial future by building up our own income and cash reserves. Real financial security lies within our own business, not within someone else's business. And as long as you're exchanging dollars for hours, your chances of creating true wealth are very slim. If you ever expect to make any real money, you must put yourself in a position to do so. Myth number two, a penny saved is a penny earned. Yep, that's what my grandmother used to tell me. This myth doesn't really sound like a myth, does it? In reality, a penny saved is really a penny earned. Saving your spare change will actually add up to a nice little savings after a few years, maybe even enough to buy you a gold watch when you retire. If you want to retire rich, I suggest you will take control of your own future and make sure that when you check into the nursing home, you own it free and clear. Do some number crunching, and you'll find after you take into account taxes and inflation, any investment that doesn't produce an annual rate of return of at least 10% is actually losing money. It pains me to say this, but you can even use your cash to buy real estate and get a much larger return than 10%. Of course, if I've trained you, you should know you can get all the real estate you want without using your cash. Then you can put that cash into passive investments to grow at a higher rate of return while you actively create cash by buying and selling houses. Then when you don't want to be active anymore, your passive pot will provide for you for the rest of your life. Money you leave buried in real estate can grow only at the rate that the real estate grows, which will be the same whether your cash is buried in it or not. We don't bury cash in real estate. We invest cash to get as high rates of return as we can, both active and passive. When you use real estate to generate cash, both inside and outside of your Roth IRA, now you're growing from both directions, and if you're active, you should be able to get a rate of return through real estate that staggers any rate of return that you're going to get in the stock market or other investments. If you're passive, and you just want to write a check and wait for a bigger check, I can't imagine why you would want to accept less than a 10% return. And honestly, I'll bet you won't be on planet Ron long enough before you won't accept anywhere near that. Myth number three, all debt is bad. Some believe all kinds of debt are bad. However, there are two kinds of debt, good debt and bad debt. Consider bad debt as a type that puts you in debt for long periods of time. Contains a personal guarantee, run-of-the-mill consumer debt, such as charge cards or jewelry or cars or material trappings or impulse purchases or boats and all kinds of things like that. For compulsive credit card purchasers whose cards are always at their maximum, the best financial strategy is getting and staying out of bad debt. So what type of debt is good debt? Any type of debt for creating wealth is obviously a wise debt. Fortunately, in the real estate business, we can buy all the property we want without borrowing money. We simply take over existing debt that comes with the property. No personal guarantees, or non-recourse, as we call it. There's a big difference between personally guaranteed debt and non-recourse. As you know, I vigorously object to guaranteeing any long-term debt to buy a single-family house. But I've got folks everywhere making a lot of money by taking over existing debt with non-recourse or creating seller financing also with non-recourse. This kind of debt produces income. Bad debt produces outgo. That kind of debt is why we have a country full of job slaves trying to keep up with their bad debt. Let's start thinking like a bank and do more collecting than paying, because your debt is producing more revenue than it cost. Myth number four, the government will take care of me. Much of our society has been lulled into a false sense of security provided by others. Social Security, unemployment, insurance, welfare, food stamps, and other government meddling programs have created made our society a dependent society. I can't save myself class of Americans. This type of pseudo-security has caused great harm to those who have subscribed to it. True security can come only from knowledge, education, confidence, initiative, invention, self-reliance, ability, and innovation. That it comes from others is only an illusion. Putting too much emphasis on security can be paralyzing, can cause a person to live in fear and avoid any and all risk, and be indecisive, and ultimately live a dull, humdrum, boring life. All things worthwhile in life involve some risk, including marriage, love, starting your own business, moving to a new city, and so on. Those who don't venture out of their security bubble will never know the true potential of what life can bring. Some people can spend their life playing not to lose instead of playing to win. My whole goal is to help you buy and sell houses without putting you at risk, but even there, we have small risk. You might lose a little money here and there, but you'll make it up bigger on the next one. Again, the biggest problem you can have in your life is guaranteeing debt. Stay away from guaranteeing debt and stop using your money or credit, and you'll find this business very acceptable and really exciting and can get you from zero to wherever it is you want to be in life very quickly. Myth number five. Failure is bad. Failure is bad only if you perceive it as such. For those who look at failure as an opportunity to learn, and it's a temporary setback. It can be a building block to bigger and better things. But many are conditioned to be ashamed of failures and mistakes. This leads to a fear of failure, which becomes a great hindrance to any success that may be looming in the horizon. Those who develop a positive attitude toward failure can conquer the destructive emotions of fear, shame, and guilt. You must be able to put into perspective what others may think about you and continue on your quest for success. In my experience, the biggest fear is not about failure, but the fear of rejection. Most people are worried sick about what others say or think about them. Who cares? It doesn't matter what the morons say. Let them talk, criticize, condemn, and complain. The truth is, if you knew what was really going on in their life, you wouldn't care what they have to say. You will fail, I guarantee it, but let's keep them as small failures, not big failures that can wipe you out and make you start all over. Failure is easy to control in real estate, and if you'll follow my direction, you won't have to go to bed and wake up worrying about loss or worrying about failure. You cannot succeed without failing. Let's make them small failures. Life is a one failure right after another. And those who create wealth simply manage to succeed a few more times than they fail. It's all about having more successes than failures in your life. Myth number six, being wealthy is all about material possessions. While there is more to being wealthy than he who does with the most toys wins, there's a huge difference between accumulating wealth and being wealthy. It's not uncommon for real estate entrepreneurs to become so engulfed with a love for what they're doing that they may not even realize for months that they've become millionaires. Above all, never pursue money at the expense of your health, peace of mind, loving relationships, or the pain of others. Or just enjoying personal activities. Money is a means of creating wealth. Wealth is a means of creating a great life. I know this is hard to believe if money's a problem in your life, but real wealth is in the thrill of the chase. Wealth comes from power. Power creates more opportunities to be in control, and control creates more chases and therefore more thrills. You don't need $1 million in the bank to feel wealthy. You need freedom. Cash flow creates freedom. If you have enough cash coming in, you'll begin to feel wealthy regardless of your bank balance. Now use that cash to generate more, and pretty soon your money's working for you instead of the other way around. Incidentally, if you got $1 million sitting around in a bank account, you got mush for brains. That's for old ladies and the uneducated who don't understand the banks are paying you less than inflation is costing you. Banks love people who do that. Just leave a lot of money in the bank because they will not take the time to learn how to get a much higher rate of return safely. Myth number 7, the acquisition of wealth is a win-lose game. If the rich keep getting richer, do the poor keep getting poorer? Well, thanks to inaccuracies in the media and omissions at our nation's universities, the truth regarding this matter is seldom heard. Here's a bit of reality for you on this situation. You're not becoming rich will benefit no one, but you're becoming rich benefits others in an abundance of ways. Wealthy individuals build factories, which create jobs that help the economy. They invest in real estate, which provides housing to renters who cannot afford to buy them on their own. They also make tax contributions to the community and to the state and to the government and support churches and charities and scholarships and the like. In fact, the more wealth you create for yourself, the more wealth and opportunities you create for others. How'd you like to live in a country of mostly poor folks? Well, here's some bad news. You do. Folks maybe not at poverty level, but barely getting by. Are you one of them? If the answer is yes, why? You have no one to blame but yourself. Don't get mad at me. I'm not your boss. I don't make the conscious decision to be broke. You did. Spend more time creating assets that pay instead of liabilities that suck you dry, and your situation will change quickly. And by the way, Beverly will tell you, if you think money doesn't buy happiness, you don't know where to shop. I've been rich, and I've been broke. Rich is a lot better. Broke sucks. Myth number 8, you must have money to make money. Oh, that's the biggest lie since the IRS is here to help. People who think this way will die broke. Truth is, if you can't make money without money, you can't make money with money. Now, I didn't say no money was needed. I just said it doesn't have to be your money. You should be using OPM, other people's money. And I wrote this book to show you just how to do that. The greatest fortunes are made through leverage. And fortunately, real estate is the highest leverage vehicle on the planet. Hey, if you don't write a check to buy a house and make money on the deal, your return is infinite. It doesn't get any better than that. That's OPM. Do you want to be a millionaire? Simply acquire $10 million worth of houses with $9 million worth of non-recourse debt, and voila, you're there. Relax, that's only 66 houses worth $150,000 each. What's the big deal? I got students buying that many houses in a year. What if it took you 3 or 4 years? Of course, that probably means you're still exchanging hours for dollars on the job. But this plan requires you to keep the houses, but what's wrong with that? Buy some, sell some, keep some. Now you have the best of both worlds, especially after you learn how to handle tenants and make them tenant buyers so you don't have the problems that come with tenants. Wealth is like a house. It needs a good solid foundation or it'll fall apart. People who have taken the time and effort to build solid foundations of successful characteristics can proceed with the business of creating their house of wealth, doing the framing, laying the bricks, and so forth, with the security that comes from knowing that what they're building is very likely going to last for a long, long time, and no one can lay them off or fire them or take away their security, and it passes on to their heirs. Once you know how to build real estate correctly and understand clearly what to do with it, then you truly, truly have created security. No one can take the knowledge away once you have it. They can take your assets, but they cannot take what you know. You should always buy houses as if you're broke. Ron LeGrand.